Welcome to the Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
Yo, check it out. Stop. Cause I don't see either one of us watching.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, powered by Place to Be Nation. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined by Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham. And you know how we like to bring you guys the exclusive interviews. We like to bring you the stories that people are talking about. And there's no shortage of topics when it comes to the world of professional wrestling. And there's no shortage of controversy when it comes to the WWE. And, you know, on this show, when it comes to controversy, there's one man we turn to, the heat magnet himself, Alfred Cunningham. And Alfred, you got into a bit of a discussion on Twitter with our guest. And why don't you introduce our guest to the people? Because I think this is going to be a fascinating conversation.
Well, this next guest did his best impression of me, actually, by getting on the WWE's bad side, but he did so in a way that I didn't necessarily agree with. I did write an article slightly criticizing him, and as you know, here on the Kings of Sport, we did, and we do, like to give everybody that we disagree with a chance to respond, and this individual has graciously accepted our invitation to be on this show. He's a PR expert from MJK Public Relations, who's worked extensively with pro wrestling, and he's here today to defend himself against the establishment. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Kruskal. How you doing,
Mark? Well, thanks for having me on. I don't know about an expert, but I've been doing it for a while. I've worked for a movie studio. I have worked for and have pro wrestlers as clients, also doctors, lawyers. And, in fact, one of my lawyers, he was the lawyer, the defense attorney, in the recent case where Tom Hanks was a juror, and I set up an interview for this lawyer gentleman on CNN as well as a newspaper in Los Angeles. So I've been doing this for a bit. As for expert, definitely not an expert in pro wrestling. I've been a fan since I was a kid. I've never booked a match. I've never wrestled a match. So I am definitely not one to consider myself an expert in that. But being around 56 years Monday, I think that gives me a little bit of expertise in the world and in a certain amount of common sense.
Yeah, and you are a qualified person to give a wrestling opinion, obviously, because you got on Stephanie McMahon's radar. You got on Triple H's radar. There was an incident on Twitter where a fan asked Stephanie McMahon, what do you say to those fans who say WWE is going against their own anti-bullying campaign with showing Triple H and Ryback bullying? And he's course talking about bullying on a TV perspective. And then Stephanie McMahon responded by saying, no different than bullying in a movie, WWE's entertainment, be a star is real. Now, you disagreed with that, and you said that this is utter nonsense and bad PR spin. How does she know that the kids can differentiate it? You cannot profess one thing and show something else. Kids mimic what they see on TV, right or wrong. It's not the respective medium's fault, but if it's not there is nothing to mimic. Now, I completely understand where you're coming from, but here's where I disagree with it. Are you saying there should be no bad guys on TV? There should be no bad guys in professional wrestling? You know as good as I do that there are babyface and there are heels, and heels are going to do, you know, dastardly things that maybe kids will mimic, but it's up to the parents to get them to stop mimicking it. What do you say to that?
Exactly. And again, I feel that I'm not deserving to use insider terminology. That's just a personal thing for me. But since we're doing it in the sake of context, it fits right now. There absolutely should be heels. There should absolutely be baby faces. The more despicable the heel, the better. I mean, look at Bully Ray. He's just absolutely amazing. And everyone else out there, I don't believe there's a limit. As long as the parents are watching what the kids are watching, they could bash them over the head with bottles and say whatever they want, do whatever they want, steal their wives, steal their boyfriends, steal their girlfriends, whatever they want to do. So that's the way it should be. And the baby faces should be Dudley Do-Right incarnate. I totally believe that should be true. Maybe that reference is too old. They should be really, really, really nice. So that all being said, I think the WWE painted themselves into the corner when they created the Be a Star campaign, specifically for the bullying element, not for being a heel generally and as an umbrella behavior. But just when it comes to typical bullying type thing, like Ryback did in the craft services area and in the shower area, and how Triple H is making certain things happen, even the way GBL would say and be horrible to Josh Matthews, and the way that Michael Cole would be on the microphone to Daniel Bryan before everyone's turn. So that specifically is my issue, where, yeah, it's some is real, some is not real, but when you are marketing to and your demographic, they're the same people that you're going to visit at the schools, and your public service announcements and your cut-ins are all about Be a Star, and it's the very same people you're telling, don't do this to other kids. If other kids do this, stand up to them, do whatever you need to do. I think it's very contradictory and hypocritical.
Now, Mark, you mentioned the hypocrisy, and one of the things that I've always had a problem with is your announcers, and when your announcers engage in this kind of behavior, because they're the guys that are setting up these, you know, Be a Star pieces and, you know, pitching to these inserts. And so when you've got Jerry Lawler, who spends 90% of his commentary, you know, talking about women's appearances or making silly jokes, and then he's like, okay, let's go check out this Be a Star piece with The Miz talking about how you shouldn't bully somebody based on their appearance, but you just spent the past 5 minutes talking about how fat and ugly and silly Vicky Guerrero is. It to me, that's very hypocritical.
And I agree with you. I think certain announcers, you have the heel announcers. Some of them kind of in between. Some of them go back and forth. JBL and Jerry Lawler kind of goes back and forth depending on what's going on and the character. They're not Bobby Heenan. He was a quintessential heel announcer. But that was also back, and they didn't have the Be a Star campaign. Again, if you want to call someone fat and ugly and tall and short and green and pink and whatever it may be, that's fine. But you can't put that right next to or alongside something that's contradictory. And believe me, I like a lot of stuff the WWE does. Their promotion department, publicity department, marketing department rivals any studio I've worked for or worked with. But in this case, I think they're wrong, and I think Stephanie McMahon or Triple H or whomever it is that's making these comments on Twitter and defending it in whatever way are doing it in a corporate way, and I'm not buying it. And frankly, I think there are a lot of wrestling press out there that are not, and fans that aren't buying it either.
Yeah, and the comment on Twitter you talked about, Triple H almost immediately responded, didn't mention you by name, but he's obviously responding to your statement by saying, OMG, someone just told me that Darth Vader is a character in a movie. Silly me, all this time I thought he was just a big bully, hashtag be a star. So it sounds like to me that you have just as much of a problem with the on-screen bullying than as much as the real-life bullying, like something that would happen to JR or the announcers like you were talking about. Is there a difference? Do you think one is worse than the other, or do you just think all bullying on WWE should cease to exist?
And bullying, I mean, it's such an encompassing term, and it's just like a lot of things that are politically correct. I mean, where do we draw the line? I think intelligent people recognize if you're calling someone fat, if someone's bigger than the other and you're intimidating them, if you're calling them, I mean, look, a 12-year-old or however old, another person just committed suicide. So there's a reason that there's a Be a Star campaign out there, and I think it's fantastic that the WWE is doing it, other outlets are doing it, schools are getting involved in anti-bullying campaigns. That's all fantastic. So the real crux of the bullying behavior, again, we know what it is. No, it shouldn't be there if, and that is the big if, in this case, because that's what we're talking about. If they are so adamant and have a campaign and running a campaign with their name attached to it. Somebody in one of the posts said, was talking about, so the NBA or whomever it is shouldn't run a stay-in-school campaign. Well, here's what I say to that. If another sports organization, whether it's a team or the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, whatever, if they're doing a stay-in-school campaign, you don't feature someone right next to it who went to the NBA or NFL, if they can do it these days, right out of high school. That's what I'm talking about, the hypocrisy and the contradictory nature of it. You wouldn't feature that person in that campaign or even associated with them.
And you mentioned, you know, we're talking about the other sports, and, you know, every sport seems to have its own little hypocrisies, whether it's the NBA with a stay-in-school, whether it's the NFL, who on the one hand is talking about making the game safer, but they also make a lot of money off of, you know, the videos with the big hits. And I just think it's there is something, and I particularly want to talk about baseball because they made so much money in the 90s and the early 2000s off of sluggers. And now there's this big crackdown in terms of steroid use. They want PEDs to be eliminated from the game, but they also made a lot of money from it. And so it seems that there are institutional hypocrisy, whether you're talking about the WWE, Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA. Are we really going to get to a point where, you know, they kind of get their ducks in a row? Because I understand what you're saying, Mark, but at the end of the day, I think they're about making money and they don't care what they have to do or how they might seem like they're being hypocrites. I don't think you're going to see bullying stop in the WWE or, you know, the NFL making money off of, you know, these big time hits. I think that's just the way that they are. And that's the way they're going to continue to operate.
Well, the WWE, from what we're seeing every week, I just actually started watching Raw from Monday. I just started watching it today. I don't remember seeing too much of it, but as long as the company line is, well, this is scripted content and what's real is real, then no, they're not going to change it until enough pressure gets put on them. They didn't really do much with their wellness policy. Same thing with NFL, NBA, et cetera, until enough pressure got on them. They didn't do anything with the concussion policy until enough pressure got put on them. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Look at your local city, the street you live on. They don't put a stop sign or a stoplight up until someone gets killed. Unfortunately, there are a lot of reactive organizations and situations instead of being proactive.
Now, Mark, before we let you get out of here, I did want to touch on, you know, the PR aspect of sports kind of outside of the WWE and some of the big stories we've seen in recent months and weeks, you know, with whether it's Johnny Manziel, whether it's Ryan Braun or A-Rod, and just kind of when you get into a situation, is it your belief that it's better to kind of, you know, keep a low profile, or is it better to confront these stories head on and tell the truth?
Well, I think keeping a low profile after it happens is fine. I probably go against most PR people. I think that you address the situation honestly right off the bat. Everything from what happened with President Clinton, if he would have addressed it right off the bat, said, yes, this and happened, and I am... and we are taking care of it. Even if you want to give the old line, we would appreciate our privacy during this time, et cetera, et cetera. Instead of lying and lying and lying and lying and lying, and it stays a story. You change, and then you switch that to Hugh Grant when he got caught with someone that he shouldn't have got caught. When on the Tonight Show, Jay Leno says, what the hell were you thinking? And then it's done. It's done, yeah. People still remember it, but they're not really talking about it. getting to Ryan Braun. I mean, I believed him when he said this is not true, this and that. A lot of sports people, a lot of his friends, a lot of the media, Aaron Rodgers, all these people, and then it comes out, well, something was. I mean, he played not that far. He played in high school not that far from where I live. And other circumstances made it where I was hoping that it wouldn't be true, and I was crushed. As much as someone who really doesn't know him and isn't a huge fan, I was crushed that there were a lot of elements of truth here. Who knows how much, but for what he did, he did. Now, I don't think his apology was all that great. But again, we're talking about hypocrisy. Look at the people who admitted to using PEDs. Mark McGwire, folks like that, who are playing baseball, who are eligible to be in the Hall of Fame, may not get there because of what they did. Their stats have ruined baseball. They've altered their own. The pitchers who pitched against them and all these other things. Yet, someone like Pete Rose, who, yeah, did something he shouldn't have done, but really, what's worse? Actually cheating in multiple games or betting, and you're not even betting against your own team. And further hypocrisy, how many owners of sports franchises are involved in gambling one way or another, whether it's owning horse races, going to them, or in some fashion?
Now, Mark, you do have worked with TNA wrestlers. There's a picture of you on your website with Chris Daniels. And let's admit, TNA has not gotten the best press, especially this past year. It seems like it's gotten to a head to where TNA has had various situations, from the Missouri House Show incident, where six wrestlers were not able to compete, to the Ask Dixie fiasco, where she was trying to restore order by having an open forum discussion that just didn't work out because she wasn't able to get to the questions in time. TNA has an image problem. So what piece of PR advice would you offer up to TNA to maybe curtail these problems that they keep having?
Well, that's true. I do, I'm happy to say, and fortunate, because I do help Christopher Daniels and Austin Aries, Frankie Kazarian a little bit, some other folks. I've helped Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana, NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which is now Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I've helped these people with PR as long as other folks. I'm not an employee of TNA. I can't speak for them. I'm not in their meetings. I don't know what their end game is. I guess the advice I could give, like I would give any other company if they were starting out or came to me for PR. I mean, my specialty is not crisis management. Again, I go at this from a regular person standpoint. I didn't graduate with a degree in PR. PR kind of found me. I didn't go into it. So all that being said, you have to look at what the perception is by a lot of your fans or your customers, whether it's McDonald's or whether it's any company. And if the perception is not really positive, again, if that's the case, then I don't know if it's a great idea for the owner to say, okay, please throw questions at me. I think typical behavior of consumers, and I guess I would put myself in there as well, one usually doesn't contact a company if they had a good experience. They sure the hell will contact them if they had a bad experience. I think that that's just human nature. So whether that's on Twitter or Facebook or writing the CEO of XYZ company and saying, hey, I had really bad service, I don't know why one would want to expose themselves to ridicule, because you would think that's going to happen. Whether it's a business decision you make, whether it's a storyline, and that could be TNA, or that can be Breaking Bad, or, I mean, I just watched some episodes of Royal Pains, and I was ready to tweet some things like, I'm not going to watch this anymore. I mean, you are insulting my intelligence. So, I think that's the case in any entertainment or any business. If a customer or fan doesn't like it, you probably shouldn't hand them the keys and say, okay, say whatever you want in a completely public forum. I mean, yeah, you did see a few people say good things, but the majority weren't. In order to get your reputation or get people saying good things about you, again, whether it's a wrestling organization or a restaurant or another company, you listen, see what is in the comments in that little comment box of yours. See what people are saying and maybe listen to it a little bit. Try it. See what happens, and they'll be happy. I mean, the last episode of Impact was fantastic. Great matches were happening. Hopefully people were listening. I'm fortunate and represent and help out a lot of people that were on TV that day. And it was fun just watching because those are the matches. That's the talent that people want to see. I mean, Bully Ray being Bully Ray, the heel in wrestling. I'll go along with what people are saying online. I think he's the best heel going these days. And the other stuff that's going on. I mean, getting back to the WWE and their demographic, you could say it's for 18 to 34 or whatever the corporate policy wants to be, but when your top face is John Cena, and I happen to like John Cena, I think he does for the company what he's supposed to do. I saw him wrestle in a small Fed 15 years ago when I met Christopher Daniels and other folks, and he was a great talent. He gets butts in the seats, but look who's buying his T-shirts, young people. So to say that those people are able to differentiate what's going on in the ring or on TV and what is on that insert or that PSA or that school gym presentation, I think that's a corporate load.
I definitely agree with that. And, you know, again, TNA, I think part of the big part of their problem, regardless of whatever's going on backstage, is that perception that you mentioned. So hopefully they can get that back together because I am a fan of that company and a lot of the talent in that company.
And
I
was going to say,
Mark,
say,
I think one thing we've all learned is that Bully Ray is the one bully we can all get behind.
Hey!
No, and that's fine that he does it. Again, like I said here, if you want to do the ultimate in bullying behavior, I can't judge. Well, I guess I could judge for myself whether it's right or wrong, but that's fine if they want to do that. But don't 5 seconds later put a PSA saying, be a star, don't bully. That's really the crux of my point.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for taking your time out today, Mark. For the people out there that would like to follow you and follow your work, maybe get in touch with you. I know Alfred has frequently had some discussions with people up in Stamford, Connecticut, so maybe he'll need your PR services. How can people get in touch with you?
They could track me down just by going to my Twitter, which is MJKPR. Like Mary John King, Paul Richard, MJKPR. My company is MJK Public Relations, and there's an email address and all that kind of stuff. If anyone wants to write and say bad things, I'm around. I'm a big boy. I can take it. And if you call me a Mark, hey, people have been calling me that for 56 years, so there's really no problem.
Good attitude.
Yes. Yeah, well, again, thank you for joining us, Mark. Happy early birthday, I guess.
Oh, thank you.
And you got an open invite whenever you want to come back and talk to the Kings. And maybe we'll see you in October for Bound for Glory out in your neck of the woods.
Well, I hope to go down there to see some friends, and my daughter also lives in San Diego, so I'll have a place to stay, and I would love to do that. Thanks.
All right, so that is Mark Kreskel. We are the Kings of Sport, and we'll be back Monday with a brand new show. So we'll see you then.
The Kings of Sport is a weekly podcast that features sports talk with a different flavor. The show is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at thekingsofsport.com. The Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game, one show at a time.